I'm feeling pretty damn good today. How you doing out there? My name is Mark Farrell. I'm on the Progressive Radio Network. The show is Insights. Friday Eve, my friends. It's May and February in the tri-state area. You either embrace it or you're like, oh my God, what's going on with Mother Nature? I keep looking up at the trees in front of my house and I'm like, no, I hope I don't see any buds. I don't want to see any buds because we're not any premature blooming because you know the snow's coming back. I say that with confidence because March, historically, you know, we can get a foot of snow in March. It's going to happen. But hopefully there's no bull today. Well, you know, double entendre there, because there's maybe a little bit of embellishment. No, I'm just kidding. Well, there was a bull running amok in Queens the other day. You heard about that, right? It only took him about a gazillion and one tranquilizer darts to stop this bull in its tracks. Kind of like what we're trying to do with Chris Christie in New Jersey. Ba-doom-bap! It would take more than a gazillion tranquilizers. Because, you know, he's running straight to the White House. He is still looking for a slot. He wants to be in that cabinet so much. Doesn't he understand that Trump's son-in-law is going to keep him out no matter what? He locked up his father for like a decade. There's no way Trump is... Well, you never know. Who knows? There's never any certainty with Donald Trump. You know who that guy is? That's the person sitting in the White House? Yeah. So I feel pretty damn good this morning. You know what? Started out really early. I teach spin on Thursday mornings and Tuesday mornings, so I get up at the God of the Hour at 5 a.m., and this morning, with it so unseasonably warm, the fog was so incredibly thick, I felt like if I wanted to be like in outer space or pretending like I was on an old acid trip or something, just put on my high beams, and it was crazy trippy. Anyway, feeling good. Great workout early this morning with an incredible bunch of devoted fitness buffs. I love those guys at the Freehold Area YMCA. Joe, Jeff, Joanne, Laura, bunch of great people. And they make me feel terrific. A great way to start the day. And so, yeah, the warm weather continues here for the weekend. We're really, really into that. And we got some great emails that I'm going to try to get to later in the show. But if you want to give a call and check in or send me an email, it's mark@markfarrellmotivation.com. mark@markfarrellmotivation.com. Because we're going to be talking about something very, very interesting about a new location, a new retreat. I love that word, retreat. Sounds so relaxing, even in the word itself. For breakup people. People, you've broken up, your heart is in pieces, and it's a boot camp for those who have just broken up and are, you know, commiserating, etc. So I want to be able to ask you, what is it that works for you when you break up with somebody? Is it Ben and Jerry's ice cream? Going on a sex tangent? I mean, who knows what could work for you? You know, maybe you got to cuddle with a bunch of puppies or run barefoot through a field with a lamb. That didn't sound too good. but you know what I mean. So give it some thought. And then, you know, jot down a number, 888. I can't read it. 874-4888. Someone move the sign. 888-874-4888. You'd think I would commit that to memory, but there's not much I commit to memory. So actually, today is the last day I'm broadcasting from the studio. No, I'm not leaving the Gary Null Network. Wouldn't think of it. But we're actually moving to a new facility. We're on the east side. We're on 31st Street, not too far from the Empire State Building, about two blocks away, between Park and Madison. And we're moving a little bit directly across town to the west side to newer and even more plush studios. So the Progressive Radio Network continues to elevate to give you great product, more news, great talk shows by some, you know, really renowned host, me excluded, of course. And so the great shows will continue. And of course, with your generous giving, we always welcome that because, you know, we need chairs to sit in and microphones to talk into. So, yeah, exactly. So listen to this. This is really cool. There's an organization out there called Daybreaker. And if you've ever been like a person who was into clubbing, or maybe you're still into clubbing, no matter where you live, on the East Coast, West Coast, Paris, Madrid, anywhere in the world, there's possibly a new organization called Daybreaker for you. It's early morning dance parties. So it starts about 6 a.m. and they have yoga at 6 a.m. And, of course, every location could vary a bit. And from, like, 7 to 9 a.m., they have dance parties. Now, these dance parties are during the weekdays. Right now, I guess they are. They're right now during the weekdays. So check your location. I think it's daybreaker.com, daybreaker.com. And it's really great because if you're not into the club scene, or maybe you're not into being around people who just get annihilated, drinking, the whole bar scene, club scene, you're not really into it. So this is more of a twist of, you know, feeling really good about yourself, being healthy, and having fun, you know, unencumbered fun. It's open to all ages. Of course, they ask that if you're bringing some little ones, you know, make sure they have ear protection because it's an all-out dance party. So you have to get tickets in advance, and I'm sure it's a great place to just go crazy wild and dance. And they don't offer. And what's kind of cool is that they're all at secret locations, and they're all at, not at the same location, which is kind of neat. Which makes it a little bit more like edgy, like underground parties. And not that I ever went to an underground party. I went to a few after-hour parties when I used to bartend in the city a couple moons ago. And I remember walking into one at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and this guy patted me down. I'm like, what is he patting me down for? And next thing you know, the woman I was with said, oh, well, he just took a gun out of the guy's waistband that came in before us. So I was like, oh, I'm not sure if I really want to hang out here. I think I had one beer and we split. Anyway, I digress. So Daybreaker, it sounds like a great, great way to, you know, just kind of roll into it and have fun. And with a great DJ, they have performers there as well. And then major cities across the country and in all different countries, Dubai, Paris, I think I mentioned, London, a lot of different locations. Again, check it out, daybreaker.com. I think they're, one of their mottos is wake up and dance. You know, that's pretty cool. They don't offer showers or facilities. They're like, just roll on the deodorant and roll into work, you know. Just wear it well, man. And what a great way to just start your day a different way than going to the gym and be in a cohesive environment where people are just really into music and just, I don't know, being free. There's something about dance that just kind of liberates a soul, right? I love it. I've never been a club person, and I have to say that it's probably because I was more into drinking than dancing, which is a shame because I love to dance. So I actually just kind of missed out on a lot of probably good club days, and maybe people who are listening going, no, maybe you didn't really. But anyway, I was spending too much time and way too much money, paychecks, drinking my paychecks in bars for many, many years, as you've heard in past segments here on Insight. But I did go on this morning. I was thinking about reminiscing about a time I went to Webster Hall, one of the bigger clubs here in New York City years ago. And I went by myself. I don't remember the reason. I think I just couldn't get anybody to go with me that night. And I'm not sure if I just gone through a breakup. And that kind of dovetails into what we're going to be talking about later. Again, we welcome your calls about what works for you when you do break up with somebody. And we'll be getting to that segment. So we'll welcome your call at 888-874-4888. But I went to this club, and all of a sudden, I was just like, first of all, I love music. I come from a music background in terms of engineering and music creativity. As a production director, a former creative services director for a couple of New York City radio stations, which basically means you're a music imaging person. You make music work behind promos, imaging. I've done a lot of movie trailers, national movie trailers for Sony Classic Pictures, things of that nature. Besides voiceover, it's more of the creative aspect. Like if Coldplay is going on tour, yeah, make national commercial spots, radio spots for bands of that caliber, etc. So that's what that is. So I'm really into mixing. I used to have my own DJ company called Profound Sound. So I get to this club and I'm just marveled by how incredible this DJ is, just weaving in tunes seamlessly. And sonically, I was just blown away. I'd say probably for the first hour, I was just kind of walking around and not minding it and not feeling alone or lonely. I think I had probably a couple drinks throughout the night, but listening to the music, it just kind of just transports it, you know? Music is just a way of kind of makes me levitate almost, you know, a certain way. I don't want to get too far out there, you know what I'm saying? There's nothing in this coffee cup except for tea, I swear to God. Next week is a whole different story, you know. It's going to be next Thursday. It's going to be St. Patrick's Day Eve, so in New York City here. So we'll have to be getting our green on next Thursday in our new studios. Anyway, so, yeah, I had a few drinks, but anyway, I went on a dance floor, and I danced my ass off for hours, all by myself. Now I say all by myself. I was with, I'm sure, hundreds of other people, but I was not dancing with anybody. I went alone, I danced alone, and just went into my own Eden on this dance floor, and I had the best time. I was soaked. I wasn't drunk. I was just totally losing myself and let myself just be overcome with the music, and it was great. You know, it's kind of funny to think about it back then, and it takes, I guess, a certain kind of personality, but the reality is, like, I'm never going to see any one of these goddamn people again in my life. It's so dark, except obviously when the lights come on and it goes kind of crazy. And actually, that was one of the challenges for me, being in this club alone. Was like, well, man, how can I find my way around this place? I did, I think, ask a few people. I'm like, are there any steps or are there any ramps or anything? So once on the dance floor, I was fine. I was able to navigate just well enough to have a blast. And it was really cool. And I suggest, man, if you've never done anything like that, to do it. You don't have to go alone, but just go with somebody. But you don't have to be tied down to, like, hanging in their atmosphere. Like, just go. Just run amok on this dance floor and have fun. And it really, really just made me feel free. So going back to Daybreaker, this is a great, great component of that. And then, you know, I'm going to get these people on the show here. Producer Zach, we got to work on that, because this seems like a great organization, and I would love to meet the people. And maybe we can actually do a remote from there. That would be really cool. Reminds me also of, I don't remember the name of this organization, but, you know, obviously there's festivals all across the country, and they have been releasing lineups for all the major ones, Bonnaroo, etc. And there's some great lineups this summer and fall. But some of the festivals offer something that's really kind of interesting, especially for people in recovery, AA, NA, etc. And I read this in the, Rolling Stone, somewhere, about 6 months ago. And I wanted to research it, but, you know, you just can't follow up with everything. Some things have to fall by the wayside, right? So anyway, case in point. So it's a great organization that goes, I guess, to all these major festivals. They have a tent, and it's kind of like a dry tent to hang out in, I guess. So, you know, at night when you are at festivals, basically there's two things to do. Listen to music and get, you know, shit-faced. Whether it's by drinking, mushrooms, tripping, etc. They have rave tents. You know how it goes. Or you know how it went. Or maybe you don't. So that's why you listen to the show, because it's all-encompassing, man. We cover everything from politics to drugs and disabilities. So there is a great organization that's doing something that allows people, like, you know, not to feel ostracized at night when everyone else is imbibing in whatever form they like, which was multiple genres for me back then. So I think it's a great way to feel welcomed. And when you give up drinking or using drugs or both, that doesn't mean that you have to stop living or eliminating music or festivals, etc., from your life. And I think the advent of something like that is just very, very smart, because not only does it give the people who are running this event something to do as well, because these are run by people in recovery, I think it's just a great way to show other people that, hey, you know what? We all have something in common, the love of music, and the love of being outdoors and enjoying music is just, like, even much cooler, you know? There's nothing like enjoying outdoor music. I mean, I think that just is the pinnacle of summer, and I love that so, so much. I saw something this morning that was pretty disturbing, You know, on Facebook and all social media, you read stuff and you're just like, you know, is this really true? You can see things that are photoshopped and people that are posting up pictures, and some of the pictures are really, really remarkable. And then you look a little closer and you're like, well, that can't be true or real. It kind of takes away from it. But this particular case is kind of disturbing, that a few parents had noticed that through friends and networks that that they got alerted that their child's picture was being used, stolen, lifted from their page by sites that are trolling sites. For example, like if some site saying, like, if you're pregnant and you have a tattoo, your child, when is born, is going to look like this. And they actually use a picture of a child with a disability, a real child with a real disability, that was taken without the permission granted from a Facebook page, etc. So I mention this for two reasons. Number one, because we have to realize, you know, what we put out there, we do not own. And believe me, what they're doing is completely wrong and insensitive and immoral and ethically disturbing. But the reality is, when you put something out there, whether it's a sentence, pro, con, you know, Democrat, Republican, independent, whatever, I mean, it's out there. You can't retract it. Picture is the same thing. And when I speak to schools and colleges, and especially when I tell people about accountability and the real world expectations, you know, for seniors or eighth graders going into high school and seniors going into college and college kids going into the workforce for the first time in a professional sense, like, you have to be, and hopefully they were for the last 4 years, responsible for your actions. Because if it's on the internet, it may not be real, but it exists. And to get it eradicated is not impossible, but close to it. There are companies out there, two major ones, I don't remember the names, that all they do is log and warehouse information that's on the web. So if you put in Mark Farrell, say this is 20 years from now, Mark Farrell, and say this is my last show on Progressive Radio Network, you'd be able to pull that up. And anything I said, pictures taken, etc. So all this stuff is warehoused. So the reason I give these examples is because when I speak to students about, you know, being smart about, you know, not being caught on top of a keg or multiple kegs or body surfing at a frat party, a sorority party, with multiple funnels going into your mouth while holding a fistful of pills, while you're sitting across from an HR director at your first job after you're graduated from Brown University and you're $80,000 in debt and you don't get the job because the woman or a man in HR who's interviewing you is staring at you on Facebook or whatever social platform. Going back to my original point, if you have a child with a disability, if you have a child without a disability, if you have a child, if you are a child, if you are an adult and you act like a child, you know, whatever you put out there is not yours. Again, we have to be really, really mindful that, you know, we don't own this. This is a platform that people can, you know, come and go as they please and leave comments, thoughts, pictures, and take things away with them. That's why my wife and I thankfully mutually agree that we don't post anything on, well, actually, she doesn't have any accounts on social media due to her job, but I do, and it's only for work. I never post, you will not find a picture of my children on the web. And sometimes I'm very tempted to do it because, you know, I want to show everybody that I know my life. Oh, my God, I'm, you know, proud of my kids. They're doing X, Y, or Z, or just a cute picture. But the reality is, you know, I don't need the world to see their picture. You know, they're just fine where they are and who they are. And the family has their pictures and I send them out via text, emails, et cetera, and their friends and holiday postcards. And we'll keep it at that because in this day and age, in this era, oh my God, we're getting too heavy. Let's go to another segment. Let's have some music, Zach. That's about it on there. Cue it up, Zach. Zach, you waking there? There we go.
Hold on to me as we go, as we roll down this unfamiliar road. And although this wave is stringing us along, Just know you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place your home. Settle down, it'll all be clear. Don't pay no mind to the demons, they fill you with fear. Trouble, it might drag you down. You get lost, you can always be found. Just know you're not alone. I'm gonna make this place your home.
I love the chorus part. Leave it on, Zach. Yeah, I will try not to do that much of a worse disservice to you. Anyway, so you'll be singing that Philip Phillips song for the rest of your day, and you'll either be thanking me or hating me. It's the Progressive Radio Network. My name is Mark Farrell. The show's Insights, 22 minutes after the hour. Thank you for joining me this and every Thursday, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. So the cover of the Daily News today, the hell we will. New York City Police Commissioner James O'Neill emphatically saying to the remarks of President Trump, did I just say President Trump? Yeah, I did say President Trump. About the fact that they are not going to round up immigrants under the Trump's new deportation orders. And I applaud the New York City commissioner for that because I'm in agreement. I'm sorry. I think people should come across our borders legally. I think the vetting system, from what I've read in place, does a very good job. It's very, very effective. And they said it doesn't even need much tweaking. Of course, we're talking about people coming across the legal way. So the hell we will, from Police Commissioner James O'Neill here, right here in New York City, basically turning his nose up to President Trump, saying that. And I think that's very, very cool. And there's a lot of different states and cities that are following suit. I don't know if federal funding would be jeopardized in terms of losing that, because obviously if you break away from executive orders, federal orders and demands and laws, I don't know what the consequence would be there. But I think that would be well worth it. I think that we could probably make do without it somehow. So I wanted to mention something to you, because I actually mentioned this story probably a year or two ago, because the George Washington Bridge, an iconic bridge that connects New Jersey, Fort Lee area, which you are very, very familiar with, even if you are listening to PRN in Guam, because you probably heard of Bridgegate. Yes, Fort Lee connects, the George Washington Bridge connects Fort Lee to the upper west side of Manhattan, and it's a vital bridge. It's two levels, a beautiful bridge. You can actually walk, run across it. But unfortunately, the George Washington Bridge is a source for people to take their lives. Many people have jumped. Hundreds and hundreds of people have lost their lives on the George Washington Bridge. And there's been lots of initiatives put in place. I know the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention had put up a sign, and I don't know exactly what it says, but basically, like, you know, here's a phone, there's a phone nearby, call this number, and you can speak with someone who is a social worker, et cetera, that would be able to hopefully diffuse the situation as well as get the authorities there as well. And it's been fairly successful from the people that actually have picked up the phone. But usually when someone's on the bridge or at the brink of committing suicide, they are in such a dark hole, dark fog, that they can't even see something, because your focus is so tunnel vision. You know, you're in such a dark zone from what I experienced. Certainly that's what I experienced. And so the other day on the cover of the Daily News, there's a Port Authority, New York City Port Authority Department called the Suicide Squad, which is, you know, it's kind of a terrible name, but that's the reality of it. They're out there to save jumpers. And last year in 2016, these incredible heroes saved 70 lives. So they saved 70 people from jumping from the George Washington Bridge. That's a high number. Certainly there were multiple jumps, successful jumps that ended unfortunately, the lives of many people. They can't be there at all times. It's a big bridge. I'm not sure if it's it's over a mile in length across the East River there. I'm sorry, the Hudson. But they do their best. So, but unfortunately today, actually yesterday, it was announced that the New York Police Suicide Squad are not allowed to assist jumpers anymore by grabbing jumpers, because they're too worried about the safety implications. So this is what they've done in the past. I guess if there's somebody out there, I guess over the railing, they would lean over, grab the supposed jumper from committing suicide. And obviously they saved 70 lives, so it was effective. But I imagine that it puts the police officers' lives in jeopardy as well, in peril. So I guess there is a harness, a $70 harness that's available, and maybe, you know, you get there, you imagine this, you're a police officer on a suicide squad, you get to the part of the bridge, I mean, getting to that part of the bridge must be, you know, you're running for someone's life, literally. And you get there, and, you know, you don't have time to put a harness on or maybe hook up to a rope or put a rope around the railing to secure yourself. So here's this person, and you just, your initial reaction is to reach out, put your hand out there, words of comfort, whatever the case may be. I'm sure they're highly trained, but now they're told, do not put your hand out there, arm out there in any way physically. They're supposed to call, I guess, the emergency department team, rescue team to get out there. But, you know, the reality is, you know, it's a bridge. You know, hundreds of thousands of cars go over that bridge daily. And if it's rush hour, they're not going to get the authorities there. So it's kind of a judgment call. I mean, would an officer on the suicide squad get penalized, get suspended from his position, his or her position, because they reached out and grabbed onto Mary or Joe and saved their lives against the protocol of the administration of the New York Port Authority by saying you should not do that because you're risking your life? And obviously, it's an insurance and a what's the word I'm looking for? Against policy. They're putting themselves at risk. I forget exactly what it's termed here. Sorry, the lawyer in me is not working right now. And that part of the brain is asleep still. That's because I got up at 4:45 this morning. Anyway, so it's kind of a double-edged sword, because it's a great fact or department that they have, the New York City Port Authority Suicide Squad, but it's a kind of unfortunate, and maybe this will get sussed out after the media attention kind of wanes. But I'm sure there's a bunch of officers that are saying to each other, hey, listen, I get up there, I'm going to do whatever it takes to save that person. That's why they're doing that job. I imagine you don't ask to be put on the Suicide Squad. I mean, you want to be. I'm sorry. They don't just pick and choose. I think they probably... there's a certain breed of cop who wants to be up there to serve the community, but that community is represented in one being that they can make a huge difference. And imagine if an officer is up there and they're face to face or face to back with somebody talking to them, and they know this new policy is in place and they're so close to reaching out to them, but they're afraid because they could possibly lose their job, suspension, pay, you name it. And that person jumps and dies. I mean, what kind of toll will that take on an officer? Yeah, that's pretty heavy. So, you know, I hope it gets sussed out. They were actually investing in the Port Authority of New York in nets. I know this was very effective at the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. And I know it is taking years to construct this across the George Washington Bridge, a span, and I forget the cost. It's pretty substantial, and I forget who's footing the bill. Port Authority is a quasi-government private organization between New York and New Jersey, but we'll look into that and get back to you. But it's very interesting, the fact that they do have the squad, which is great, that it, you know, has saved 70 lives in just 2016 alone. And I take my hats off to these men and women who volunteer to do such a courageous and very, very taxing position. That's for sure. So you've read about all the protests that have been going on. Woo! all over this country in the past, well, 6 months at least. And obviously they've been heating up big time, especially since the town halls are happening this week. Senators are Senate's off this week, so they typically go home and hold town hall meetings in their town. And, man, they are loud and really, really angry, boisterous. People are just pissed off. Even the Republican Party is splintering apart. Understandably, just watching the news coverage, and I'm not going to go into this and belabor this point much longer because there are plenty of outlets, and I'm sure you've seen all this before. But my point is that I want to make that it's just great to take a step back. And I've always said that, you know, America is a country of, I don't know, people with amnesia, because, you know, we get slapped with more taxes, new policy, et cetera, legislation, and we gripe and we move on. Versus like Europe and different parts of the world that take to the streets and really demonstrate how they're feeling about new policy, which could be good or bad, mostly bad, or change, it can be either. But I'm really happy to see that we've kind of returned to the roots of who we are as a country by being boisterous. That it's important because, you know, I say to my kids, my 7-year-old, my 4-year-old, how good it is to embrace your First Amendment and to be able to go out into the streets and demonstrate peacefully, underscore peacefully, because obviously there's a lot of things happening and people are really, really angry. They feel like the country is going backwards. In some cases, some people feel like it's moving forward in warp speed. Maybe sometimes people are feeling like it's going too fast. Whatever the case may be, people do have a right, and that's one of the incredible things about democracy that we have here in this country, that we can take the streets and demonstrate and vote for change, and by gathering in Washington, D.C., Idaho. I mean, that's a very interesting point, is that there are demonstrations at senators' office in the middle of the country in very quaint, quiet towns of 3,000, 5,000, under 10,000 people, and they're having demonstrations. I think that speaks volumes of how our country is in a state of tumultuous, you know, confusion and loudness. It's just kind of happy to see, as long as it's peaceful. You know, I'm all for that as long as it stays peaceful because, you know, there's no reason anybody ever should get hurt with demonstrations. Sometimes things can happen, and I understand how people get filled with zeal and zest and want to be very exercise their fervor, but you know, we got to keep it in check here, no matter who you're, what party you're with, etc. But on that note, you probably heard that Trump has rescinded the fact that transgenders were able to use bathrooms that they identify with. Rescinded that on Wednesday. There's been a lot of backlash. He's been rolling it back. He's saying the federal money will stop to certain states. Schools, but lots of schools, I'm happy to see and hear, have spoken up and said, nope, we're going to keep it in place. Good for you. So I commend schools for doing that, because can you imagine the individual, transgender individual who's like, I can't use the bathroom. Oh, now I can, with the one I identify, my gender. But now I can't because of Trump. I mean, really, what are we going to do here? How is this going to change our country? The good of our Make America Great Again by having transgenders not able to use the bathroom that they identify with gender-wise. I mean, we got way bigger fish to fry, don't we? I mean, I just don't get this. So, Trump, no, buddy, just worry about your golf game. You know, yeah, what is it? He's been in office for over 4 weeks and he's been golfing for 3 weekends. Yeah, exactly. All right, so just in a few minutes from now, we're going to be talking about what works for you when you break up, right after this incredible music clip that Zach's going to play.
Testament. to a man on rose, a suit before he lived. But I'm not the kind of person that it fits. She said, where'd you wanna go? How much you wanna risk? I'm not looking for somebody with some superhuman gifts.
All right. So get to the phone, 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. We're talking about if you went to a Renew, like a breakup boot camp, what would you want? Or what works for you when you break up? You know, this is a new organization that's in upstate New York. They have this great, great retreat. I love the word retreat, right? It's great. And they allow people to kind of move on and deal with their pain. It's through yoga. It's through good food, incredible food, because I think it's very expensive. Anyway, nutritious meals. But, you know, the reality is, you know, what do you need? You need like a endless supply of Ben & Jerry's available 24/7 at this retreat. You need booze. You need wine. I mean, come on, everybody gotta, you know, have a vice of some sort when your heart is just broken and you're miserable and you feel like the world's ending. How can you go on? How could you ever, ever, ever date anybody else? Well, you do, obviously. Things happen. We all have our hearts kind of broken and tugged and pulled out and stepped on and, it's kind of, ugly. So, you know, there's certain things that you would want, you know, you would think like you, I'm thinking like a field of like wheatgrass and like Sandy Duncan. Remember those commercials for, was it Wheat Thins or something? It's like she's running through and the wind's gently blowing and the wheat's just going like an area like that. Or little bunnies, like there's a pen with little bunnies that will be jumping all over you just to make you feel good. Or maybe you're able to like just walk around in your pajamas for 2 or 3 days at this retreat upstate New York. It's called Renew, R-E-N-E-W. So check it out. It's pretty new. It looks very luxurious. But I'd love to hear from you. And as a matter of fact, I pulled Zach in here. He's the executive producer here for Insight. So, Zach, I mean, I don't want to, you know, I'm not happy that you've had your heart broken, but you've had, right?
I have. Well, of course I have.
Yeah. So what was his name? I'm sorry. What was her name? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
There have been enough. There have been a few.
Exactly. So what worked for you?
Well, I know when I was in college, my roommate and I, he'd bring in a big handle of vodka, and we would play some Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. I love it. Yeah. And so that worked for that moment, and then the day you were even twice as bummed.
Probably.
I wasn't completely hungover.
Yeah, I wasn't feeling so good. I guess at the time it, you know, helped a little bit.
Now try to imagine you going to Renew upstate New York, and you're with other people commiserating. What would work for you there? Beatsy pajamas.
I don't think
watching
that.
Love Actually on loop. You know, 24/7.
I don't think that would be for me either. What kind of people are there? Are there the girls at this?
Yeah, everybody, sure. Well, everybody gets their heart broken.
Yeah, I guess, you know, just meeting other people. Maybe some beer would help. I don't know if I'd go with the handle of vodka anymore.
Chocolate
would help.
Do you have a food that's like your comfort food? Is it pizza, mac and cheese, ribs, anything?
I'm a burger guy.
A burger. Yeah. A burger's
a
great
staple food. Give me a cheeseburger, maybe a bacon cheeseburger, some fries. You know, I'll be all right.
Yeah. You may have a little flatulence if you start doing yoga, though.
That's true. Maybe I'll stay away from that part, then.
It's funny. I was talking to somebody about yoga the other day. They're like, you know, yoga, when I go to yoga, this is a guy talking, of course. He's like, I'm so worried about farting that I'm just like not concentrating on the pose and the stretches. And then I worry about someone else is going to fart when they're in front of me. And then if they do fart, I can't laugh. But I'm still trying to think about not farting myself. And then the result is I fart.
Exactly, yeah.
So gas is in the air and love is in the air. So I think it's a great concept. What do you think? Would you ever consider it if, you know, money was not a restriction? And actually, I got a great idea for you.
Okay, great.
And for all you single people out there. This is a movie concept right here. This says like, who would play this? All right, let me give you more about it. So you pretend your heart is broken. You go to one of these retreats, right? It's like going out on Valentine's night, right? If you go out with a buddy or two girls and you see guys out alone, you know they're single. That's what I used to do. I used to go out on Valentine's night and go out to dinner and sit at the bar and be like, okay, she's single, 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 because they're with their girlfriends mm-hmm. or they're alone because you know they're single. So if you go to one of these camps, man, it would be a great way to clean up.
There are lots of single people there.
Absolutely. You know, you cater. Oh, my God, yeah. I was in a relationship for so long, and I couldn't believe he or she did that. And I just want to be happy. And just, can you help me be happy? Yeah. Well, what would that take, Zach? Well, you know, maybe that hot tub over there and maybe some little Epsom salt in there and massage, a little walk. And let's find that field full of bunnies. Milking some cows. I bet you that would make you feel better, right?
Milking cows?
It would take your mind off
of it. I suppose.
I've never milked a cow before. But I think it's something everybody should do. Obviously, most people in this world drink milk.
Of course.
Whether it's a deli or obviously people are dying when they would love to have milk. But, you know, I think it's one of those things that's a must have. So are you on board for like endless supply of wine, like a wine tap in your room, Ben and Jerry's ice cream, popcorn, whatever it takes?
I'd have to take beer over wine.
Okay.
Maybe donuts over chocolate.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's about all I need. Burgers, beer,
so that's
donuts.
That's what works for Zach. All right, Zach.
Thank you.
This is our one and only and our last time together in this studio before we move.
You're right. It's a sad day.
Any parting words, my friend? Are you excited? You're very positive for a new facility?
I'm ready for the new facility.
Gary Noe has many incarnations. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, we actually have to get a van for all the, actually, as I'm looking at all the different posters, all the movies he's produced, the documentaries, the books, et cetera. I mean, thank God I'm not moving.
Yep. It takes a lot of work.
All right, Zach. Well, you go along out there to those controls, and I hope you do not get your heart broken this weekend, but go out there and break some hearts.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, rock and roll. So I gave a talk a few months ago at Rutgers University on mental health. And it was a great talk. I was up there for about an hour or so. And it's a talk all about my experiences with mental health, my issues with depression, thoughts of suicide, panic attacks, anxiety, et cetera, like a generalized anxiety and panic attacks. And it was brutal, and I wish that on nobody. So it's a pretty powerful talk. You know, I totally open up like I do here, but even more so there because it's a long format and I can be very nuanced about details, etc. And I like giving that talk, but it's funny because during that talk, sometimes, and you can never predict this, you feel very emotional. Obviously, you know, I lost my brother to suicide. And I went through a very dark period myself. So it brings up these emotions. And here you are up on stage in front of 500 to 700, 800 people. And obviously you want to have clear and concise thoughts. You want to get your message across. You still have to be a professional speaker, which, you know, never is not the case. But you still have that aspect of not getting sidetracked, but just getting emotionally impacted, affected. And how could you not? Because, you know, sometimes I can get up there and I'd say maybe 7 times out of 10, I'm okay. But those 3 other times, you're like, whoa. So anyway, the talk went very, very well. You know, you can tell it's going very well when you look around the room and all eyes are on you. You can hear a pin drop, et cetera, which, you know, I love. Any speaker loves that. So I get off stage. And as I hit the ground level, off the steps, onto the ground, a gentleman came right up to me. And he's like, wow, man, that was great. That was very, very powerful. And I forget exactly what he said. Very complimentary, etc. And I'm hearing what he's saying, but at the same time, I'm kind of decompressing. I can't even say decompressing because, I mean, it's been like 10 seconds since I stopped speaking. Off the stage, and here this guy is coming up to me and being very polite and positive and complimentary. But I had a hard time kind of processing it because I was, again, going back to what I was saying, a little shaken up. Not visibly. But in my mind, I could, you know, and I just said to him, hey, you know, thank you very much. Thank you very much. If you can just give me a second or excuse me, I'm just not coming down, kind of coming down because, you know, when you speak for an hour straight, no matter what you're speaking about, you know, you're kind of elevated. Certainly when you speak to a crowd, it's very positive, which I always am, as you can tell. But for a topic like that, it's a little heavy and still I'm very positive with it because that's kind of who I am. And that's how I survived. Through the loss of my brother, certainly, and through my own turmoil, certainly through a lot of help, professional help, and medication. But he was great. So he gave me his card, I believe, and I gave him my card. He's like, hey, yeah, I'd love to talk to you. Oh, sure, sure, sure. So I got a call about a month ago from this gentleman. He's like, hey, or actually I got an email. He's like, hey, we met at the talk. You know, you're great, yada, yada, yada. I was wondering if we could meet sometime because I want to pick your brain about starting a group. And I wrote back. I said, you know, thank you very much for the kind words, et cetera. Yeah, I'd be happy to meet with you. I don't know how much input I can give you. And just to remind you that I'm not a doctor, not a social worker, not a psychiatrist, not a psychologist, et cetera. I have no initials after my name. I have a lot of expletives that people have called me. Just kidding. But there are no initials after my name, but I am an expert in me. So if you're cool with that, as I said on stage, when I give my talks on mental health, I'd be more than happy to meet. And we met. We had a great talk. Geez, we talked for, I don't know, two and a half hours. And at the latter part of our conversation, we realized that we went to the same college together. So I really like this guy. He suffered major depression. And from a drug overdose, he tried to take his life, very thankfully and happily, unsuccessfully. And he's been starting his life over for a few years now and doing quite well. I'm really happy for this guy. Selfishly, I'm very happy that he's in my life. He's a good dude. And more importantly, he's actually starting a men's group because he said to me, there are no men out on the stage in life, etc., talking about things like you're talking about. Men need to be able to articulate because men experience depression, all kinds of mental illnesses, just like ladies. They're more apt to not talk about it, and unfortunately, they take their lives in much more violent ways. But he was very commending in that area, and I commend him because he's starting a group. And doing the research and for men who are experiencing any form of mental health issues, panic attack, depression, anxiety, et cetera, et cetera. So with that's the case, it just reminded me how vital it is for, you know, people to, I guess, be open to newness, to new things, et cetera. And it's a great reminder that, you know, I've gone into this business, into being a speaker for many reasons. But this is the number one reason because you can impact someone's life. I mean, and now it's going to be who knows how many fold because this gentleman is going to have a support group for men who typically may not seek a support group because they don't want to be in mixed company or not seem masculine or strong, or they don't want to be misconstrued as weak because they had a breakdown, which is not the case, of course. We all know that. But the reality is, you know, people are can be labeled as taboo. You know, the label still exists, and it's unfortunate, but they still exist. But it's just fantastic to see how you can touch somebody's life. And I think it's just fascinating. So kudos to him and kudos to you if you've ever thought about, you know, doing something of that caliber. No matter what it is for, even if it's just for health or it's for fun, it's for release, whatever it is. I mean, that's the great thing about the web nowadays. You can start a knitting group. You can start a reading group, a poetry club, whatever the case may be. You know, I urge you to do it. And it also reminded me, because somebody asked me recently, are you speaking at, I don't want to say a client. And I said, no. And they said to me, oh, I thought you were going down to this state and you were speaking. I said, well, you know what? We were talking and then I didn't get the deal. And they're like, why? I'm like, well, to be honest with you, it's for an organization that serves persons who are blind and visually impaired. And they're like, yeah, well, that's you, and you have a great, you know, program for overcoming adversity, et cetera. I'm like, yeah, thanks very much, but I don't think I'm blind enough. And they're like, what are you talking about? You're not blind enough. I'm like, yeah. And it's happened to me a few times where I'm talking to organizations that fall under that umbrella that serve persons who are blind and visually impaired. And we get along great. I have meetings with them. I mean, just really harmonious. There's a click. I give them great ideas, etc. And then nothing. And then it dawned on me that I'm not blind enough. Because they want somebody up on stage who has much more difficult, arduous challenges than what my challenges are. I can drive a car with telescopes like a doctor wears or a surgeon wears or your dentist wears to look into your mouth. Mine are different because I need to see you further. They're very, very extremely difficult to use. I carry a pocket magnifier that's has 4x power. I couldn't see chalkboards in school and college. Consequently, I was always behind. But the reality is I can see. I do things differently. My mantra is my difference makes me stronger, which applies to anybody, blind, deaf, no disabilities whatsoever. It applies to everybody. So they were just kind of like blown away that these organizations, some of them would not hire me because I'm not blind enough. I'm like, yeah, it's called an invisible disability. It's just kind of crazy that it exists, but they want somebody, excuse me, who's blind or has much more loss of vision than I do. My left eye is 2400, which means if we're looking at the same thing, maybe a wall, and I'm 20 feet away and you're 400 feet away, we would see the same thing. Now, my right eye is 20/80, which kind of gets me through this world, the great world of ours, which is much more powerful. So it's kind of funny how I'm kind of caught in the middle. And that's one of the talks I give, kind of like caught in the middle, where technology-wise, assistive technology-wise, I would be better off if my eyes were worse. But would I really? Do you want your vision to be worse so you can have better assistive technology? The upside is, well, my eyes aren't that bad, but then, you know, there are certain things that I can't do or it takes me a lot longer to do, and physically sometimes it's just kind of hard and kind of takes a toll because of always craning my neck and trying to read a computer, and things are much more, you know, difficult because the good thing is that, you know, technology and our world has gotten bigger. I mean, if you go into like a Pottery Barn to Target, like clocks, wall clocks are like the size of this broadcast table almost that I'm sitting at right now. They're gargantuan. So it's come a long way. But, you know, when I tell people, no, you know, I'm not blind enough and I have an invisible disability, they're like, what? Why? What is an invisible disability? Obviously, it is what it is. Somebody could have, excuse me, various types of disabilities that run a gamut, but they're not obvious. My visual disability is not obvious. I don't carry a cane. I can drive a car. I can ride a bicycle fairly safely. Haven't had any major accidents. And I do a whole bit on that and how I kind of count how or lucky I am, but how I'm able to do it with such kind of using different techniques, getting me through the streets and navigating through races, etc. But I kind of understand on one side where these companies or organizations are coming from, but on the other side of the coin, it's adversity and what you do, regardless of how much of a challenge or how much of a loss or of a disability you have, we all have to do things differently. And that takes a toll on your psyche, how you process it, how you internalize it, and ultimately how you and what you do with it in your life, both personally and professionally. So to anyone out there who maybe falls in the realm of a invisible disability, don't make that feel like you're less of a person, or when someone says inappropriate things to you, not knowing that you have a disability, understand that obviously you have the right to politely educate them, or understand that your disability is invisible and that they're just not being insensitive. They just don't know you have a disability. So the upside is possibly that you're better off than the alternative of having whatever disability that you have in a worse fashion. So it's kind of a weird place to be. It's kind of like an influx place. My doctors had told me, who are some of the best doctors, retinal specialists in the world at the NIH, National Institute for Health, down in Bethesda, Maryland, part of the NEI, National Eye Institute, that my eyes shouldn't get that much worse. My good eye may drop another maybe to 2100, 2150, but my worst eye, 2400, is so bad that it probably won't get that much worse. So I'd like to go back to the Daybreaker part where we're going to have all day dance parties. Yeah, so check them out at daybreaker.com. And also, if you ever get your heart broken, I hope you don't, but find a place to go. And if you want to meet somebody single, go there as well, because take advantage of a situation that's just ripe. If you want to hear any part of the show over, we're always on PRN.FM under Insight. If you'd like me to speak at your school, college, corporation, summer school, camp, you name it, seminar, getaway, conference, all the above, find me at MarkFarrellMotivation.com. That's MarkFarrellMotivation.com. This is our last time broadcasting from the plush studios at 27 East 31st Street in Manhattan. Moving to the west side. Greener pastures, my friend. Mark Farrell saying, have a great day.